Welcome to the Cloquet Vineyard. To find out more of who we are, go to cloquetvineyard.org. Thanks for listening and have a good and beautiful day.
What I want to talk about today is just about being somewhere. Like, we have to be somewhere. And we see in this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful story in the beginning of the Bible of there is the divine who speaks, and when it speaks, it creates a new reality. And with each word, there is energy, there is light, there is fish, there is trees, there is movement, there is action. And in this creation story, it's almost as the divine is asking the question to what is created, saying, what's next? All of this is yours, and what will you use it for? What will you dream? What new energies will you use? What will you create? What will you move forward in? It's this continual invitation. It's this continual call to create, that we are called and we are created. At the core of who we are is that we create, that with our words, we create a new reality. And like, this is really what, like, who we are. Like, at Easter, we talked all about resurrected life. And resurrected life is as we partner in the recreating of all things that are heaven. That every time you, like, tell a story to one of your kids at bedtime, you're operating in rebuilding and recreating and reconciling beauty to creation. You're recreating what God intended for us to experience. With every dish, with every time you, like we started ripping out things in our kitchen, what do you call that, drywall, right? Like, we're restoring. We are practicing in the art of restoring something beautiful. That's heaven. We are made to create. We are made to dream. I love talking about dreaming. I talk about it often because, like, when we think about what we can create, what we think about what we can accomplish, when we think about who we can be and how we can grow and transform and evolve, that, like, if you're like a person like me, right, I get giddy about that. But there is a dark side to this. There is an absolute dark side of when you begin and just live in the future. You just live somewhere else. All right, is there any senior, if you're a senior, raise your hand, like a senior in high school. All right, sorry. Like, I'm like, yeah, me too. All right, is there any seniors here today? All right, seniors? All right, how many times do you get asked, hey, what's next? Hey, what are you doing for school? Hey, what are you doing for the rest of your life? Hey, right? You get that asked all the time, right? Does it feel a little bit of pressure? Yeah, it feels like I have to perform. I must kill it. I must do it. Like, we are infatuated when it comes to seniors of, hey, what are you going to do? Right? Like, what's next? What's next? What's next? We do this for people who are newly married. Yeah, you lovebirds, right? All you need is love, right? That's the first year of marriage. Like, I marry a lot of people. I perform those ceremonies for a lot of people. Just let the record show. What kind of church is this? And I ask them, like, how many times do you get asked right after you get married, hey, when are you having kids? Right? Yeah, you laugh, right? It's and I find this just such an, I would never ask, like, hey, because you know how you have kids takes place by another action happening, right? That is a deeply personal question. I don't go around just asking people, like, say, hey, how's that going for you? All right? It's like, but when we live in, like, what are you doing this summer? What are you doing this weekend? What are you doing for retirement? What are you doing for vacation? Right? What are you going to do later on? Like, and those are not bad questions. Those are actually life-giving questions. It's how we can connect. But it is easy sometimes to live in this place of whatever's next. We're living in the next thing. Well, next pay period. Right? This is when Nikki's like, hey, we got to buy the kids shoes. My first answer is like, that's great. Next pay period. Right? Right? I just don't like buying shoes. I should just reveal that on stage right now. I don't like buying shoes. Right? So, the next pay period, oh, next weekend we'll do that. Oh, next summer we'll get that project done. Well, the next circle of friends, our next party, next season, my next job, maybe my next opportunity. And we can always just dream of, well, the next thing that's coming is going to be really good. And when we live in that place, it can feel good. It can feel really good. But sometimes we can use that to delay maybe the pain, to delay the reality of what's right in front of us. So dreaming is beautiful, but like, have you ever been here before where it's winter and you're like, I just have to put my head down and I have to survive. And I just have to make it till summer, just make it till, I mean, I've been there. And it's easy when we just put our head down and we just try to survive for a season of our life. Your head's up and it's like, it's August. And you're like, oh, summer's almost over. Like, I have to like do stuff now. And it leads to this panic. Or if you have kids, when you have young kids, I remember just thinking, oh, it's going to be so much better just when they go to school, right? And it does, trust me, it's way better, right? I won't lie. But there's something about just like, oh, the next stage with my kids, and the next stage in my marriage, and the next stage. It's easy to do it as churches, honestly. It's easy just to think, we just think Sunday to Sunday to Sunday to Sunday, and there's like days and things that God is inviting us to participate in that just aren't on a Sunday. And we can do this, like get into this forward thinking or get into this rhythm, get into this drive, even in successful things. Like maybe your kid is just like amazing at a sport. And so you're driving to practice, and then the weekend tournament. And it just goes on and on and on. And pretty soon, like your rhythm is that you're doing other things, right? Or maybe you are very good at your job. And you have your phone on you all the time. Because you're just waiting for the next client. You're waiting for the next report. You're waiting for the next opportunity. But my friends, when we live there, and honestly, it is so easy. Some of my friends just got back from a trip in Europe, and they're talking like, and if you've been there before, they talk on like dinner after like an hour, and they're like, we're done. And they're like, oh no, we got like four more dishes coming. And like 4 hours of eating. That's like 4 hours of us enjoying one another and having fun, right? But there's like this feeling. At one point, my friend actually got up and went like this, time to go. Because we feel like we have to accomplish. We must win. We must move. We must grow. We must conquer. We must go to something next. And when we do that, we miss out what's happening right here. So my friends, my question to you is this. Where are you? Like, we know where the junior hires are right now, right? Where are you? Like right in this moment, are you aware of the pain that you have in your body? Right? Do you feel that pain, or are you just like, no, uh-uh? Are you aware of like maybe the cough that you have? Are you aware of your stress? Are you aware, as you look around the room, are you aware of like your relationship with the person that you're sitting next to, your friend? Are you aware of your relationship with your kid? Are you aware of where you're at in your relationship with the divine? Like for me, on Tuesday and Wednesday and really Monday, I was sick and I was not aware. I got home from my trip and I'm like, I'm going running. It's even though I felt sick, I'm going to run. I'm going to like sweat this out. You know, great. Science, clearly, right? I just got more sick, right? Because I was not aware. I wanted to be somewhere else. People like me don't get sick. Anyone else? I don't get sick. Yeah, thank you for raising your hand. She started raising her hand. She's like, oh, no one else is. Right? Why? Because to be sick and even to be present in that means it's a threat. Why? Because I must be somewhere else. I must be better, faster, stronger. Right? So how do we be here? Because the Bible is just like rich about giving us opportunities to dream, but so rich about just being here. Because here is a sacred moment. Here is something beautiful. Here is an opportunity to laugh and to enjoy, to question, to doubt, to mourn, to grieve, to grow. Like in Psalm 118, in the New King James Version, right? Which is everyone's favorite version, clearly, right? And this was a song that we sang. I remember singing this song as a kid. It says, today is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. You guys ever heard that song? Today is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord, right? It's actually, you just can't help but just like do this when you sing it. Like, because you're just marching. But the Message version says it this way. It says in Psalm 118, this is God's work, we rub our eyes, we can hardly believe it. This is the very day God acted. Let's celebrate and be festive. Salvation now, God, salvation now. Yes, God, a free and full life. There is this urgency in that message. Salvation now, today's the day, take action. I will celebrate, I will rejoice, I will be glad, I will revel in the now. I will revel in the moment, not just something future, not just something that's gonna be better later, not just something delayed later, but now. And this is hard. This is hard. It's hard for me. It is hard for me at times to practice just being here. Because I love parties. I love large groups. And even when I'm in a large group, I even did this with my friends yesterday. We're together. I'm like, hey, so what are we doing next? It's like, well, you just got here. So maybe we can like wrap this up before we talk about what else is going. So there's something so beautiful about this. I just want to give you just three quick tips. Three ways that we can really practice. Because this is an art form. It is an art to practice just being like with the people, being with divine, and even being with yourself. And the first one is this. We have to grow in our ability to be self-aware. Being self-aware. Every time that you walk into a room, you bring something with you. And it's not just like a killer cane that's all with like diamonds and stuff on it, right? That one right there, right? You are bringing yourself. And with yourself, you're bringing an energy. With yourself, you're bringing baggage. Yes, you're welcome, right? You were bringing all that into a room. And have you ever like had a friend or someone at work and they walk in and like the temperature just changes emotionally? They walk in, you're like, they're stressed. Or the boss walks in and everyone's just like, all of a sudden just like, oh no, yeah, of course we're working, boss, right? Where you can't even be the real you. Like, have you ever done that for yourself? Like, what am I bringing into the room at this party? What am I bringing into the room when I come home from work? What am I bringing into the room emotionally when I see my wife? Here's a great, great question. It is an intimidating question. I won't lie. And you can write it down, right? A way you can practice being present, is being self-aware, is asking one of your friends or asking your partner and saying, how do you experience me? How do you experience me? Because when you can walk in a room and say, oh, we're going, all right, kids, get your shoes off, we're leaving, all right? And then you just like, you can move. You don't have to be there. You just have to say, perform, win, grow. Act, behave, right? When you have to stop and like get quiet and say, and invite someone into that intimate question, hey, how do you experience me? Now, you hear that question, you can look at it in two different ways. The first one, which is the most obvious, is you can look at it as through shame. Like, I don't want to slow down. I don't want to ask, like, especially my partner. Maybe I'll ask, like, my old, like, high school friend, right? Like, we haven't seen each other for a while, so how do you experience me? I remember one time in 10th grade, like, yeah, awesome. Thanks, right? To ask, like, maybe one of your best friends to ask your kid? And if you look at it through shame, you're going to want to hide. You're going to say, oh, no, I'm a bad mom. I'm a bad friend. I'm a horrible neighbor. And when we look at it through that way, through shame base, well, then why would you ever want to ask that question? No, thank you. But if you look at it through growth, if you have a growth mindset, if you look through the opportunity, that question is a gold mine. Because if I want to be present, if I want to be here, I need to know what here is in the context of the people around me. I don't want to just perform. I don't just want to play. I just don't want to live for whatever's next. I want to be here now. Like, now. So asking that question is, like, I was at this retreat where we were actually using this, and this one guy, he's like, hey, I'll try it. He was a stranger. He's like, hey, so, Chris, how do you experience me? And I'm like, you have a great shirt. I like it, right? But it made me be present too. It made me pause and think, okay, well, what do I know to be true about you? And it was great. So asking that question, slowing down, and saying, what do I bring into this room? All right, the next thing is this, and I love this one, is think. Self-aware and think. And I am self-aware that when I bring up tips, this makes it in the top three most of the time, right? And I use words like think, I use words like say something out loud, and here is why. We can live in this great theological place. We can live this place in our mind of like, we should celebrate, we should say things that are good and beautiful, and we should be good neighbors, and we should like really invest in the people around us, and we should bring and add value everywhere we go. It is a great, awesome, sexy idea. But you know what I've learned? That it doesn't usually make it to my mouth. It usually doesn't make it to like my feet. It doesn't usually make it to my wallet. Usually doesn't make to my couch or my own table. So like, I want to continually bring up of like, we can do beautiful things. We can do hard things. And one of them, I think one of the biggest opportunities we have as spiritual people is to thank the people around us. If you want to be present, you have to slow down and tell someone what you love about them. To get quiet and say, hey, you know what? Josh, like, I really love your glasses. I can either just, like, be insincere. I can just say, I just got to say something to keep Josh quiet and move on, right? Or I can notice the beautiful things around me and actually do it. Because here's the thing. I was driving home from the cities a couple weeks ago, and there's a big billboard in Forest Lake, and it's from a, not a, where you go to have processing on stage, where you go to a funeral home. Thank you, Mom. That's if you're listening to the podcast, my mom just corrected me on stage. Thanks, Mom. Appreciate that. Thanks for being present with me, Mom. I appreciate that. Funeral home, and it has this big sign. It says, call your mom as many times as you can. Right? Like, what a great reminder. How often do we take the time? We can take for granted. Of course my employees know that I appreciate them. Of course my friends know that I love them. Of course my kids know that I think about them while I'm at work. Of course my neighbors know that I'll do anything to help them. Right? Do they? Let me give you a sobering reality. I have a 12-year-old, and so if you have a 12-year-old that age, you have 300 Saturdays before they graduate. 300 Saturdays. You have 940 Saturdays with your kid the moment they're born. By the time they are five, you are one-fifth of the way. It's a little over. You're already 240 Sundays in or Saturdays in when they're 5 years old. Like when we have a little app on our phone that tells us how many weekends, how many Saturdays you have left with your kid. Like I see that. I used to distance myself. I don't want to look at it. I don't want to look at it. But it's like I want to be present with my kids. I want to tell Cole I love him. So when he leaves and he goes off and does amazing, beautiful things, I leave no room for interpretation. Because if you don't fill that gap with telling the people what you love about them, they're going to fill it with something else. Like Greg Brown, right? Greg Brown, one of my favorite artists, he says, if you don't get it at home, you're going to go looking, right? Tell the people what you love. I recently had a friend, the one that was traveling. He sent me this text message. Actually, I was in Denver. I was about to walk into this house. I had this heavy conversation. And I was just feeling like just exhausted. And I got this text and it just said all the things that he loves about me. Which is kind of, we don't do, especially as men, we don't go around like, hey, Peter Krause, I love you. And let me tell you what I love about you. We'd like get like awkward and be like, hey, how about the twins? Right? And he took just a little bit of time and texted me a picture of this beautiful plate of food. And he goes, my friends and people like you helped me get to this place of where I can be with my wife and dance and joy and laugh. And I hope someday that you're able to do this. It was so, like I stopped. I'm a feeler. So I cried. And there's this little, his name's Owen. He's one of my little buddies. I was saying that. I'm like, Owen, I just need a hug right now. And just gave him a big hug. There's something powerful. It's a gift we can give to people by just simply telling people what I love about you, what I appreciate. Change the word from love to appreciate if that's hard for you. So be self-aware. How do you experience me is a gift to learning how to be present and slowing down, noticing people and saying beautiful things. And the third one is this, and this is where I end, is celebrate. Celebrate helps us be present. And you might not always think about celebrating as a way of growing and being present with people, but it is. I have this coach, this like entrepreneurial coach, her name's Jen, and I've been meeting with her for several years. And before we'd start, she'd say, "All right, Chris, why don't you share 10 wins, or what can we celebrate? 10 things we can celebrate from this past month." And I would just be like, "Oh, Jen, I just want to get to the work so I can get more work done, all right? Who cares what's celebrating? Let's like solve all the problems. Let's activate everything and let's move." And celebrating just is like, ugh. Well, to celebrate those things, I actually had to pause from all the work I wanted to do, right? I had to stop and think, "Oh, what did I win this week? What did we do this past month? Oh, this story happened, and I feel like this life-giving conversation, and we were able to do this, and we were able to change this." And it moved me from this like work, 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 future, 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 right? Win, win, win. It made me pause and reflect on all the things that happened before that got me to today. It was a beautiful practice. So my encouragement to you is celebrate. Like when you get that project done, like give out a little hip, hip, hooray, right? Recognize in that moment, my kids got their shoes on, fist pumps, right? Like when you see this, when you walk out and you see the sun today, smile. Like read an amazing, mind-blowing book. And when you're done, when I read a great book, every time I slam it down, I'm like, "Gah!" And I just yell, I'm like, "Gah!" I don't know why. If you see that, I'm not angry at you. I'm just like, "It's over! Gah!" That's a celebration. When your partner walks in the room, when your friend walks in the room, when your love walks in the room, like tell them and celebrate, "You are gorgeous. Look them in the eye. Go for an amazing run," and like clap when you're done. Like, "I did it," right? Like celebrate, invite your friends over, clink glasses. Have a dance party with your kids. Go roller skating in the middle of the street. Do something to celebrate that there is good and beautiful things happening all around me, and I want to soak it in. Because as you dream about this summer, you should be dreaming about this summer, friends. You should be. You really should. Like, I want to do summer on purpose. We only get so many days, right? But as you dream about that swimsuit, and you dream about that vacation, you dream about the cabin, you dream about that time with your friends, you dream about the bike rides with your kids, who you are going to be in the future is shaped by who you are today. And if you are not present with who you are today, if you're not self-aware, if you don't know how to speak beautiful things, if we can't celebrate, then we'll get to the vacation or the swimsuit or the party or the celebration and we'll just be somewhere else. So my friends, where are you today? Let's stand. And I know some of you right now are checking your watches like, "He wrapped up pretty quickly. You're welcome." I'm like, I'm going to keep this one short because how beautiful it is outside. So I'm going to pray for us. And the reason we pray, and I hope you walk away and that you really hear this, the reason we pray is because we really believe there's a good and beautiful God who wants nothing but good and beautiful things for us. Not just the person next to you, not just the people in the front row, but like you. And we pray as a way of like opening ourselves to receive those good and beautiful things. So as I pray, if you're at a place where you just feel anxious, you have a hard time being present, you maybe have difficulty celebrating. Maybe you're like me, it's easy to live like work till you're dead kind of person, right? And you want to practice being present. You want to slow down. You want to see and recognize and celebrate. As I pray, just receive it. However you connect with the divine, for me, I often hold my hands open just as a way of just saying, "God, whatever you have for me, I want to be open emotionally, spiritually, even physically." So join me. Let's pray. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you. And I thank you, even like the song we sang earlier, like you create beautiful things. And I thank you that with your words, you create a new reality. And we have the ability to dream, and we have the ability to create, and we have the ability to inspire and love. And as we dream about what's to come, as we yearn and lean into what's to come, Holy Spirit, I pray you give us the gift of being present and seeing what has come. That what's right in front of us is an opportunity to receive from a friend, opportunities to be encouraged by a loved one, that right in front of us is an opportunity to worship you. So I pray for my friends who feel anxious. Pray for my friends who feel, I only have value when I perform. I pray for my friends who have kept their head down and struggled through winter. God, will you wake us? Yeah, that's the word. I pray you'd wake all of us. And we can be a people who are present. We can be a people who are self-aware. We can be a people who can celebrate you, celebrate one another. So as we move into the summer, as we move into the rest of this work week, Holy Spirit, will you be with us? Amen. So I'm going to invite our prayer ministry team. These are people who have been trained in how to have life-giving conversations with you and partner with you and ask God to do beautiful things. And my invitation is, if you're here and some of those things I brought up, like you are anxious, or maybe you have a hard time just like slowing down and just being present, like your foot's always tapping, you're always waiting for that phone to vibrate, you just don't know where to start, this would be a great, wow, there's a lot of you. This is great. This is awesome. I thought you guys were coming for me, like, get them off the stage. So if you want prayer for anything in your life, you have physical pain, or you just want God to do beautiful things, come up at any point. We'd love to pray for you. We're going to worship for a little bit and enjoy the rest of your Sunday, friends.